But here in Isaiah chapter 9, the thought about light versus darkness that we saw in chapter 8 continues. Remember, there at the end of chapter 8 where we looked at last week, we were reminded about that contrast. Actually, we'll start there just to be reminded of that passage. Let's start in chapter 8, verse 19. The Bible says, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look into the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." So I've entitled it, "The Land of the Shadow of Death." Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts this evening. Thank you for it and the privilege to be here. We love you so much, and we thank you that we can assemble on a Sunday and open your word and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And we pray now, Lord, as you promise, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We claim that truth tonight and pray you'll be glorified in this service. Guide it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we can see, God here is not only, again, reminding us about the contrast between darkness and light, but giving us a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the earth. Because this passage was quoted in the book of Matthew chapter 4. So let's turn over there and we'll see that this prophecy of the light coming and shining in the darkness was a prophecy of Jesus, the light of the world, coming to the earth and bringing the light of God to this dark and dying world. Notice Matthew chapter 4 and down in verse 13. Matthew 4:13, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Now, while you're in the New Testament, go to John chapter 1, if you would. And let's be reminded tonight that light comes from one place, and that is the Lord. Because the Bible teaches that the Lord is light. And when Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came to earth, he brought light to this dark world. John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That's Jesus Christ coming to shine in darkness. Sadly, for the most part, the darkness did not comprehend what they had. And that hasn't changed in 2,000 years. How many people are saved and how many people are not saved? How sad. That the light has come and the light has shined and the light is available, and yet so many still walk in darkness. While you're in John, go to chapter 8, if you would, in verse 12. Just want to look at a few scriptures that talk about this contrast between the darkness of the world and the light of the Lord. Notice John 8:12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So again, we see Jesus saying we have a choice. We can walk in darkness or we can believe on him and have the light of life. Now look at John chapter 12 while you're in John. John chapter 12, verse 35. And again, notice Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Look down at verse 46 of John 12. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Now, Isaiah prophesied that the light would come to this land of the shadow of death in which we live. And it happened. And praise God, if you're born again tonight, it shined onto your soul and you trusted Jesus Christ and you received the light, which, by the way, is our mission to carry on. Notice Acts chapter 26, if you would, verse 18. It's to take that light to a dark world. The Apostle Paul here in Acts 26 was relaying his mission, which is our mission. Acts chapter 26, look at verse 18. The Bible says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's our mission. To open people's eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Now, only the gospel and the Holy Spirit have the power to do those things. We're just the messengers. We bring them the gospel, the Holy Spirit shines, and they make a decision whether to receive the light of Jesus Christ. When they do, praise God, we're not in darkness anymore. We are delivered, as Paul said, from darkness to light. And as Isaiah prophesied, the Bible says, the people walked in darkness and they had seen a great light. They saw Jesus. And most, unfortunately, didn't realize what they saw, the light of the world. But some did. And then, of course, as the church began and thousands began to get saved, and then it branched out into the Gentiles and millions began to get saved, more and more received the light in this dark and dying world. But before we were saved, we were walking in darkness. Look at Ephesians 5, and we'll see that, if you would. Ephesians 5, 8. And we'll see that we, at one point, were walking in darkness. We were lost in darkness, and praise God, when we got saved, the light of Jesus Christ shined in our life. Look at Ephesians 5, 8. The Bible says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Look what he says after that. Walk as children of light. If we have received the light, which if we're saved we have, God now wants us to walk differently. To now walk as children of light. Because we have the light of the world, but we still live in the land of the shadow of death. We haven't been delivered from this. Practically speaking, we have doctrinally been delivered, but we still live here until we are delivered through death or the rapture. We still have to live in this land of the shadow of death. But now we have light. And God wants us to not only shine that light to others, but to walk differently because we have the light. While you're in Ephesians, look at chapter 2 and verse 1. And again, I know we just preached on this a few Wednesday nights ago. Notice verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead. Ephesians 2:1. Who were dead. We live in the land of the shadow of death. And before the light shined on our soul, we were dead. Now it goes on to say, verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Now, I know I've said this a number of times recently, but we were dead. Our spirits, when we're born with dead spirits. When we're born again, God quickens our spirit with life, and we have life, and we have light. Before we were saved, our body was alive. After we're saved, our flesh has been crucified with Christ, doctrinally, in God's mind's eye. So we go from being dead to being dead, and from being alive to being alive. Just got to keep all those straight. But we live in the land of the shadow of death. And 2,000 years ago, Isaiah, actually 2,500 years ago, Isaiah prophesied that about 500 or 600 years later, the light would come. And he did. And it was Jesus. And he shined. And some trusted the light, many didn't. You say, why? Well, the issue has always been the same. And I know I shared this Wednesday recently. The issue is that three-letter word, sin. That's the issue. Now, and I'll show you that over in John chapter 3. The world and the devil try to hide all of that with distractions. If you've ever witnessed to someone, they have weird questions, they have strange excuses, anything to try to distract from hearing the whole gospel and believing on Jesus Christ. Why is that? Sin. That's the issue. And God says so, John 3:19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. So there it is again. Who's the light? Jesus. And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Let's face it. If we allow ourselves to be shined upon by God's light, what's he going to see? Sin. We don't want that. So man comes up with all these excuses. Oh, there's no God or evolution or whatever. I don't have time. Because they don't want to come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. Because as soon as you say there is a God and he's light and he's holy and he's righteous, now you're accountable. And now you have to do something about that. As soon as you admit it, now you're accountable. And just this week, the person we bought our house from, his father built this wing way back when we had the school. And he came, picked up some chairs, I think it was yesterday, and he said, you know, we need to finish that conversation we started. I said, what conversation was that? He said, oh, about 15 years ago, we started a conversation. He said, because remember, I'm an atheist, but we started a conversation about the existence of God. I was really enjoying that, and you were presenting it in a way that you weren't getting me all upset, and we need to carry on with that. I said, great, let's do it. I didn't remember it, but let's do that. But it's so easy to say you're an atheist, isn't it? Because what is that really saying? I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with the fact that there might be a God, because if I have to deal with it, then I have to deal with it. Then I have to become accountable to him. It's about sin. So it's much easier because, by the way, if there isn't a God, then there isn't sin. Think about it. That was Hitler's thing, right? If there's no God, then there's no right and wrong. Who defines right and wrong if there's no ultimate authority? There's no ultimate righteousness. Who defines what's right and wrong? Well, the majority. And that's always going to change. So it all starts with admitting that there's a light, admitting that we're in darkness, and now admitting that we're going to be accountable to that light someday, and it needs to shine now so we can do something about it. And it happened to the world, as we read here in Isaiah, when Jesus came. In Isaiah 9, verse 2, he says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Think about that this evening, that every single person that we see on the street, if they're not born again, they are walking in darkness. Now, they often don't know it, but they're walking in darkness. Because this world is a world of darkness. Look at Ephesians 6, and I'll show you that. It's all about darkness because remember who the god of this world is? The devil. And the devil is all about the darkness. Notice Ephesians 6:12. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." So Satan's rulers are rulers of the darkness. So the whole world lies in darkness. Look at 1 John 5, verse 19 again, talking about the world and the people walking in darkness. Notice 1 John 5:19. "And we know that we are of God," and look what it says, "and the whole world lieth in wickedness." We have to live here. Like Jesus said in John 17, "I pray not that thou takest them out of the world, but that thou keepest them from the evil." A lot of Christians want to just run and hide from the world because it's so wicked, because it's dark, because it hates God. But He left us here to be light. Didn't He tell us in Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world"? And He said not to hide our light under a bushel, but let it shine. That little song we sing, "Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." That's why we're here. We're not here to hide. Like Jesus said, "I don't pray, Lord, that you take them out of the world. I don't want you to remove them because they're the light. Just keep them from the evil." So we as Christians have to always try to find that balance of trying to reach out to a dark, lost, evil world with the gospel without being affected by the darkness and the evil ourselves. That's a tough balance a lot of times. But that's our mission, is to be that light to a dark, wicked world. The Bible tells us, if you go to John chapter 11, that the dead, which is every single person that's not saved, can have life through the light of Jesus Christ. Look at John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Now the people, when Jesus was preaching this, they did not understand what he was saying. Now he was using Lazarus as an illustration, because he's about to bring Lazarus back from the dead after preaching this. But do you think they comprehended what he meant when he says, "though he were dead"? No. And the world still doesn't comprehend it. If you walk up to the average person and say, "by the way, did you know that you're dead?" They're not going to understand what you're talking about. But they are dead. Now, they might think they're alive, but they're dead. And if they don't get saved, where do they go? What's the Bible say? Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. They get to stay dead forever in a place called the lake of fire. Praise God for life. Praise God for the light of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Again, this reminder about death of this world, this land of the shadow of death. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." There it is again. We live, we dwell, as it says in our passage here in Isaiah, in the land of the shadow of death. And if you're saved tonight, as it said in the passage, on us the light shined. And now we have the wonderful privilege of taking that same light to others. And that is what Jesus meant. Look at it in Matthew 5, if you would. Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus referred to... Remember, he said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world." But here in Matthew 5:14... what does he say? He says, "Ye are the light of the world." So which is it? Well, Jesus is the light of the world. But when we are saved, We get His light. And now we become the light of the world because He is. It's not that we have light of our own. We're shining His light. Because don't we become Jesus when we get saved? Aren't we placed into Him? Don't we become one with Him? He gives us His light, and now we are, maybe a good word would be reflectors of His light. We are the light of the world. And this world is dark. This world is so dark, God refers to here in Isaiah 9:2 as the land of the shadow of death. Every single person that's not saved is a walking dead person. Isn't that heavy when you think about it? A walking dead person living in the land of the shadow of death. But the light came 2,000 years ago. And somebody trusted that light and told someone else, and they told someone else, and that's been going on for 2,000 years, and that's why we're here tonight. Amen? Somebody told us, and now we need to tell somebody that the light has come, and they can be rescued from darkness through the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll still have to live in the land of the shadow of death, but they won't be dead. They'll be alive. You know how long? That next verse in John 11 said, "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Once you have that life, you can't lose it. Praise God. You'll never die. You have eternal life. And now we get to tell others and share the light of Jesus Christ in the land of the shadow of death. Let's pray.